Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
This is looped to shallow left, and it'll drop. Here comes the winning run. The throw to the plate is not going to get him. And the Rangers win it with four in the ninth.
Unbelievable.
I am speechless.
On two hits.
They scored their last seven runs on three hits. I don't know any other way to describe it. I've been up here for 17 years. I've been up here for a dozen. I don't know if I've seen a more gut-wrenching loss than that. The final score, 13-12, Texas with four in the ninth.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable how we're finding ways to lose game with the Colorado Rockies. Our Brian Shaw, that was brought over here in this massive offseason deal to ensure that our pitching staff would be great in the bullpen, has been kind of like the other Brian Shaw that used to be the head coach here for the Denver Nuggets. They're both awful right now.
Why are you bringing up old stuff, man?
Brian Shaw right now, as a pitcher, man, has a 7.0 ERA. 7.03. Chad, I got to tell you, They have to do something. They have to do something. And what we saw yesterday was the Rockies had 2-4 run leads and had a 3-run lead in the ninth. And what made that so amazing during all of that craziness of that game yesterday, Adam Ottavino just came out in the eighth and was just lights out. I think that's missing in this whole story, coming back off of injury. Ottavino was off the charts, and he was fantastic yesterday. And it just gets me to thinking, you know, why are we messing around? Why not just make Ottavino our closer if we're just going to use him as a setup man? Because he is clearly the best pitcher that we have in the bullpen. And I got to tell you, Chad, it was gut-wrenching to watch us lose that game yesterday by just loading up the base. I mean, walked after walk after walk. I mean, that's crazy. It scored four runs on two hits.
It's absolutely crazy. The stat that Stoke and Zach were talking about, that's the one that blew my mind. Over the last 18 days.
Right, that's a big one.
Our bullpen has given up 60.
Right.
Not six, 60. Runs 60,
and the New York Yankees have given up six.
Yes, we're 10 times what they've given up.
That was a great stat.
So obviously, you cannot win baseball games when you give your bullpen the lead. You got the lead going into the seventh or in the ninth,
right?
And you can't even maintain that. And to your point, you and I have talked about this a number of times. How many times are games lost rather than won? And if you just do,
right.
If you take care of the basics.
Right. Just eliminate our mistakes. You know, if they make a great play, they make a great play. But we don't want to beat ourselves.
When you're giving up that many runs on just two hits, you ain't got nobody but yourself. That's you.
I was watching that game, man. And after Ottavino went out after the eighth, I kind of just turned my attention to something else. It started to rain. I was watching the TV outside, and then it started to rain a little bit, so I packed it up a little and came inside and was just, you know, just basically called it good. I really called it good. You know, I'm like, okay, we got a 3-run lead in the ninth. We're good there.
You weren't the only.
You know, I'm like, God.
Dad, prematurely celebrating yesterday.
It's bad right now. It's epic. And We're gonna have to do something, but it was another good story yesterday. Well, at least there was a good story there yesterday. Texas native Trevor Story gets a home run at Ranger Park. He grew up a huge Rangers fan. Chad, and I know what that's like to play in front of the home base where you were born and raised. Now, I know you didn't get a chance to do that because the Raiders moved. Actually, you did play. You played a Super Bowl in Los Angeles.
No.
What was your Super Bowl? Arizona?
Yes.
But that was Arizona.
Yep. I went back.
Have you ever played in Los Angeles?
Once. No. Twice.
Did you?
I played there, the Rams, my rookie year.
Oh, early on, yes. Early on.
And then came back, I want to say it was year two, maybe year three, played the Raiders in L.A. And after that, both those teams are gone.
Right.
So other than the Pigskin Classic, which I was watching this morning when I was working out.
Well, no way. Was it on a classic SEC TV or something?
No, I went back to back to see you and got DVDs of every game I could possibly get a hold of.
Get out of here.
So when I lift weights or work out in the morning, I watch game tape. And now this time of year, I've caught up on all my NFL tapes, so I'm now watching all these old CU games.
Right,
I was terrible that game. I was flat out awful.
Chad, I'll never forget, man. I'll never forget talking to you. You were making your first start against Tennessee, and I was like, you know what? Don't worry about it, bro. We got this. Just relax. You were nervous, playing that home game basically for you.
Yeah.
Us being Colorado playing in the Pigskin Classic in Southern California against Tennessee. And I'll just never forget, that was the longest game I've ever been part of. I played the most plays of any game that I've ever been part of that day. And I think that the number was, we played on defense and field goals. I think it was like 118 plays or something like that. But it was an all-day game, and it was a tie. I remember, every time I look back, because I played on the ball, and you played off the ball, and I could see you with your
hands on your hips,
and you know, with your elbows forward, like, come on, man, we got to get off the field.
Well, so back to that story, I'm walking down the hall at the college inn during training camp at CU, going into your senior year, it'd be my sophomore year, and I walk past your room. Hey, man, come back. You call me in your room, and you, all right, man, it's your first start. You ready for this? You're trying to be encouraging, but you're also, you know, I'm smart enough. I can see you trying to read me. You're trying to read where my mind is at, trying to see what I got going on. So I was thinking about that this morning when I was watching that game. Like, man, I thought I was ready, but I wasn't ready. But to Tennessee's credit, They had great players on the field. We had great players on the field, too.
We did, too.
But,
A lot of those guys, you know, when I look back at my days in playing college and the schedule that we had, because at the University of Colorado, we didn't play any cupcakes. So our off-season schedule was as demanding as our in-season schedule. And I think Coach Mack loved that. I think he loved the fact that we were going to go play everywhere and we wanted to play the top competition. And after a while, I think top competition didn't want to play Colorado in the preseason before their conference game started. And that's something I take great pride in, how we were road warriors, and we basically beat up on everybody outside that conference.
Yeah, we went to Texas before Texas was part of the, you know, Big 12. We went to Stanford.
Went to Iowa when I was there.
Went to Iowa, yep, my freshman year.
I'll never forget that hit Keith Pontiflet laid on this guy. A guy caught a stop route, and Pontiflet was in his back pedal, and he just came out of nowhere, and boom, hit this. It was like an explosion on the field, and I just looked around, and they were bringing out the medical staff, and I was like, who is this guy? And, I mean, Keith Pontiflet was a beast, man, playing for us during those years. Great player, man. Get some great players. I talked to Rodney Rogers yesterday during Father's Day. By the way, thank you for the text.
Yes, you're very welcome.
Yeah.
And happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Hopefully you enjoyed your Father's Day. I got a chance to see lots of fathers out there at the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo yesterday.
Nice. That time period at the University of Colorado was special. We had CJ on with us last year and Mike Pritchard last week, should I say. And some of those moments about how we were forged into this great friendship and this great team were amazing, because I don't know how you bring that kind of team together again at the University of Colorado with all of the hoopla behind the SEC and of course the Stanfords and the USCs are pulling from that same California base that we used to pull from, and that SEC bases pulling from Texas. I don't know how you get the California, Texas top grade players back to the university. Do you have any ideas about that?
You know, I think about the one thread throughout that time, and you can expand that picture a little bit bigger after your time there. Then Coach Mack starts going into Louisiana and getting the Cordell Stewarts and guys like that.
Right, right.
Goes up to Detroit and gets
Michael Westbrook.
Michael Westbrook.
Leonard Renfro.
Yes. So, you know, more all-conference guys, more all-American guys, you know, top five pick guys in the draft. So I think the common thread throughout all that is not necessarily the location of the guys, but the coach who went and closed them.
Right.
Coach
right,
Mack.
Right.
You know, I was recruited by Coach Vanderlinden. You were recruited by different guys. So we all were recruited by different
guys. Yeah.
But the guy who comes in and closes the deal was the common thread to all those stories. And the reason why there was so much talent up in Boulder, the magnetism and charisma of one man to come into a 17-year-old's living room and to tell you your future. And get you to believe it, and get you not to believe that it's somehow recruiting talk, but that it's actually going to come true. And in my case, it absolutely came true. Chad, you are going to win Big Eight titles. We're going to win a national championship. You'll be drafted in the NFL. You'll meet your wife here at the University of Colorado.
Right, right.
You will fall in love with this state, and you will live here. Are you kidding me? This is exactly where I'm at.
Hey, Chad, you know, We had a wonderful time at the University of Colorado. It was, I tell people all around who ask me about which one did you prefer more, your time with the Broncos or your time with CU. Certainly for me, it was my time with the University of Colorado because of the friendships that were made. Winning championships is always fun. It's always a blast to be part of any of those teams, but it was something about that group of young men coming together and putting all our differences aside and making a pact while we was at the University of Colorado to not go out and go drinking during the season as players. It was stuff like that that kind of just I laugh about it now because you know, of course there were some cheaters, but for a team to come out and say that that's the way that we were going to proceed during, because, I mean, some of the parties that you threw, man, were legendary.
Don't tell nobody, man. Everybody thinks
you
I'm this
the
cool,
best
quiet,
parties,
nice, shy
you
guy.
You had the best parties on campus, man. You and Julian Hayward, man. Your roomie there, man. Y'all had the best parties, man. You remember those days?
Oh, absolutely, man. It was to your point, it was an amazing time. You know, not on the field, off the field. The college experience to play at the University of Colorado and to be in the locker room with so many guys from so many different backgrounds, minus the football of it all. Of course, we all were driven to be great football players and came on campuses, you know, all state and all American performers and all that. But just to, you know, I grew up in Southern California, born and raised there. I hadn't spent much time with people from Texas,
right,
or Louisiana or all these other different places. Now we're best friends. We spend all our time together. We've bonded together for life. You know, when there is a family event, a birth of a child, a wedding,
right,
someone's father passes or whatever the case may be, we are all there for each other. So when I talk to parents and kids about, you know, playing football and playing sports, you know, these are the guys who are going to be your groomsmen,
right,
in your wedding.
Right, right.
These are going to be the backbone when you need it. When tough times happen,
you're going to lean on this group of guys.
This group of guys right here. And the process of working together, sweating together, coming together to achieve something bigger than you could ever achieve on your own creates a bond amongst.
Right. Especially when you win.
Oh, and then to have to stack the championships on top of that.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
It's unbreakable.
Well, yesterday was a great day for many dads out there that got a chance to win. Got a chance to see the winner in the U.S. Open. It was Bryce Koepka. Brooks Koepka. And he won with a +1 yesterday.
And what a finish by Brooks Koepka.
You know, Joe, it's like me against me when you show up at these championships. And he claimed he was the most confident player coming in. So the me against me part, he got that. And it's me against the course. He and his caddy had a terrific strategy. They picked this place apart. And then you can only control the controllables, Joe. Me against the field. You can't control what anybody's doing but you. Brooks Koepka, back-to-back United States Opens. Phenomenal.
Great, great job by Brooks Koepka. I mean, that was gutsy play. Some of the most amazing iron shots into some of the worst green conditions that have been produced at the U.S. Open was apparent yesterday. And we saw some things on in the U.S. Open that, Chad, I just got to get your opinion on, because, you know, even if you're not a golfer, you may have saw this.
This for bogey a moment ago at 13.
Whoa.
Whoa, that's stunning. Here is the next putt he hit. And then that one lips out. And that one does come to rest, and then he knocks it in. That was jarring.
I've never seen anything like that from a world-class player in my life.
That's the most out of character I've ever seen Phil Mickelson. He's putted bad enough that I think he just snapped at how bad his speed was on that putt. He just snapped.
Now, the reason that I say most people saw that is because, once again, the conditions at Shinnecock was it was fast, to say the least. But what we saw was a rules infringement by Phil Mickelson during the U.S. Open that kind of really summarized how guys really felt about the golf course. Now, as athletes, we are taught that, look, we're playing on the same field as they are. And when we're playing on the same field as they are, don't complain. And certainly we had a couple of instances in college where we played on the same field where the field's conditions weren't that good. But this was a little different because I think the spirit of the game was violated when Phil Mickelson hit that putt while it was moving. It should have been a clear violation, and he should have been DQ'd basically on the spot.
Really?
On the spot. He should have been DQ'd on the spot.
He knew what the penalty was. He was going to incur a two-stroke penalty.
The penalty is that you're disqualified. Now, there is an alternative penalty, 1-2, I think it is, says that you are disqualified.
Okay.
Which one do you – if there was one that was in fourth – if there was – you know, if 1-1 says whatever and 1-2 say don't hit the ball while it's moving, which one would you think would take precedent in that situation?
I have not reviewed the rules, if you have, so I'll take your word for it. If 1-2 says...
I mean, the first one probably precedes the ruling on the second one. I mean, right. You could probably make, an adjustment, but did you see the... I mean, the play was... I mean, it was such a bad move because Phil Mickelson came...
He was clearly frustrated.
After the putt?
Yeah, it was putt-putt golf. It's what you do in putt-putt golf.
That is right.
Somebody else gets it in three strokes, and you're on your third stroke about to hit it, and it goes over, then you run it. It's putt-putt golf. It's Friday night playing with your kids putt-putt golf. He got frustrated by the field conditions, the conditions of the greens. I'm not mad at the guy.
What do you mean you're not mad at him?
I'm not mad at the guy. It's okay to be frustrated.
That was his worst moment as a pro golfer, and you're not mad at him?
No. He didn't cuss somebody out. He didn't call somebody out of their name or their religion or their sex or identity. He didn't insult anybody. All he did was get frustrated and hurt himself. Fine.
It was embarrassing, man.
For him? He was already embarrassed by how poorly he was playing.
Yeah, but if you want to just... You know, just why don't you just leave? And, you know, the next day he came out, yesterday his wife said that, you know, he was so frustrated that he called the chairman of the PGA and said that he wanted to offer his DQ of himself because of the play. And I just thought to myself, it was just such a weird moment to watch it and understand it as a golfer that I just I didn't get it. You know what I'm saying? And they made a provision. Maybe it was for television ratings or for whatever it was for one of the greatest players in the history of the game. But they shouldn't have done that. Making an exception for a guy like that in that situation, while every golf eye in the world, or should I say at least in the U.S., every golf eye in the U.S. who is a fan of golf saw that and went, what are you doing? Like, you're rolling your eyes.
Well, okay.
You're rolling your eyes. Why are you rolling your eyes?
Two thoughts.
Okay.
I know this is Brooks Koepka's second U.S. Open.
Right, back-to-back champion.
But he ain't
nobody's third guy to ever have back-to-back champion.
He's not a household name. If you were to ask, if you were to go to Top Golf over there, just a few miles away, over there by Del Valle.
Right.
And go to, you know, a random selection of 20 people and say, name me the top 10 golfers in the world. He may be on some list, but he's not going to be on every list.
Right.
He's not a household name.
You mean not a household name, no.
Right. Phil Mickelson is a household name.
So
that's part of it. The TV aspect of we can't kick one of the most iconic golfers off the course. The other part is, just for me personally, you said it's his worst moment. I try my best not to judge people by their worst moments.
Okay.
When their worst moment.
I don't judge him. I'm saying it was his worst moment. I didn't say that this is who he is.
Okay. When your worst moment repeats itself, then I'm free to judge you. But you got a bad day? All right, man. You're allowed to have a bad day around me.
You know, but
one time.
I think we all get it. If he would have played poorly, we would have just said he played poorly and he's out of it. You know, wow, man, the golf course is tough. But the way that he approached it, it was wrong. But then he just popped his mouth out like this.
If somebody's offended by that, I apologize to them, but toughen up, because this is this is not meant that way. It's just simply I just wanted to get onto the next hole, and I didn't see that happening at the time. I'm gladly take my two strokes and move on.
You know it's not a two-stroke penalty. You know it's an automatic DQ in that situation. Are you telling people to toughen up?
Again,
I I didn't want to play anymore, and I just wanted to quit. I think that would have been better. I think we would have understood at least that feeling. We wouldn't have appreciated it, but that's what he did.
Golfers can't get frustrated?
What he did.
Golfers can't get frustrated?
Absolutely.
And then do something about it?
Oh, not like that, though, Chad. I mean, that was, oh, man.
If I were to watch Alfred Williams play football,
oh,
and at the end of a play, some pushing and shoving going on, you and some tight end who's a jerk, and he won't let you go.
I snatch his chain.
You snatch his chain. You give him a little something extra after the play. You try to punch him in his chest, and one of those hands go a little low. We all been there. We have a different ways of taking out our frustration and anger. The golf course is just such a solo, all you, with all this sanctity of the game and decorum of the rules.
It's like the last place for gentlemen. You know what I'm saying? Like, the golf course is the last place for gentlemanly acts of sportsmanship.
It still is. Phil just showed he's human. He got so frustrated, he broke. That's okay.
He broke right in front of us.
Yes.
I guess that's what it was.
Yes.
He broke right in front of us, Chad.
Because here's a guy who's an incredible competitor.
Yes, he is.
Does not break in the moment of competition with it's him and some other player in a shootout. Phil McNeckis, he's one of the all-time greats. That's not how
okay.
he does it.
Okay.
He's playing poorly. He broke to himself.
Right.
He didn't break in the face of Tiger Woods or some other great foe. He broke to himself, and he broke to the greens because they sucked, apparently.
Okay. All right. You know what? I guess it was an athlete that was just a broken athlete for a few minutes. We saw it live on television. We talked about it amongst our friends. It was something around the golf community that was like he should have been DQ'd. Every golfer I talked to said he should have been DQ'd, and it didn't happen. But Brooks Koepka, two-time U.S. Open champion. The Big 3 at 3:30 is next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
Welcome to the Big Three at 3:30, and I'll start it off. Chad, the Colorado Rockies cannot find a way to win games when they have a huge lead.
This is looped to shallow left, and it'll drop. Here comes the winning run. The throw to the plate is not going to get him. And the Rangers win it with four in the ninth.
Unbelievable.
I am speechless.
On two hits.
They scored their last seven runs on three hits.
Well, I don't know any other way to describe it. I've been up here for 17 years.
Wow.
Been up here for a dozen. I don't know if I've seen a more gut-wrenching loss than that. The final score, 13-12, Texas with four in the ninth.
Chad, first off, we had great pitching, then we didn't have the offensive support of the bats. Now we have the offensive support of the bats, and now our bullpen is letting us down. Brian Shaw is not good right now, and what we're going through right now is bad, but at least we could look forward to Wade Davis to come in and clean it up and, you know, at least get out of there with the win as our closer. All the walks yesterday, and to lose that game after being up three runs in the ninth, that's bad baseball. I don't want to see any more, and I don't know about you, but I'll be tuned in tonight just to see what kind of mentals the Rockies will have tonight at 6:40.
You know, Patrick Sanders sent out a tweet yesterday saying it was a funeral in the Rockies locker room. You know, when the broadcasters are saying words like unbelievable, not like in a good way, and they're speechless, but not like in a good way, and deciding how long they've been working with the team and they've never seen anything like this. To your point, how do they rebound from this? How do you get back going again? You once led the division. Now you're fourth in your own division. You're looking up at other teams.
Yeah, I tell you what, the one thing that we have had going for us is the bats have certainly warmed up, and in particular, Trevor Story is on fire right now. I would say just keep on with the offensive pressure. Arenado made another great play yesterday, the Golden Glove winner from the third base. I just think that if you just keep on putting good offensive performances together, good at-bats together, that in time our pitching will turn around, and that's the only thing you can hope for, because right now, do you bench a guy like Brian Shaw, who doesn't look like a Major League Baseball player right now, and just put him on the bench? And if you do, be careful there, because you may never recruit another closer or a starting pitcher to the Rockies ever again. That's always been the issue. You followed it up by bringing in a $100 million bullpen, and it hasn't worked out. But you be careful about benching guys like that with those guaranteed contracts.
So they got to do something. I don't know what it is, but something has to be done. Something has to change.
Okay, bongos.
Three.
Puma.
Yes.
Old school Puma.
Pumas.
Clyde Drexler, the fly slammer jammer back at the University of Houston. I think they wore Pumas. They are relaunching their basketball division. Jay-Z is leading this Puma foray back into basketball as the president of basketball operations.
Jay-Z, huh? President of basketball operations.
Yes, multiple signings already. Now, I have always been extremely loyal to my footwear. Were you the kind of guy, or would you be kind of guy, since you're no longer out there balling, where you could just switch from Jordan to Reebok to Adidas over to Puma?
I can do it whatever. I mean, if it's free, I wear it.
Not free. So there Al has no loyalty towards Nike. This shoe has meant something to you since you were a kid.
I know which Nikes fit me, but if you're asking me, I like Newton running shoes. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the ones that I wear most of the time because their fit is wider at the toe, and I like. So for me, I like. You know, if I'm buying them, I'm probably buying a pair of Newtons. If not, I'm probably just, you know, taking a Nike Free Run. Those are the only two I wear, I guess. So, you switch easily?
No, heck no. I got offered more money by other companies to leave Nike. I was always loyal to Nike.
I was a Nike athlete my whole time as a pro.
Putting on those shoes, putting on those shoes at the University of Colorado, put them on as an NFL player, meant something to me. It was more than just a part of my uniform. It was part of my swagger on the field. And to start jumping around brands like that, for some reason, it just never felt comfortable for me.
I got you.
I needed to have
trust.
The footwear, in my opinion, is probably the most important piece of equipment that you wear. It's not protective equipment, but it's the most important, because my game was always a movement game. So
right.
Shoes were extremely important to me. I would never consider switching.
Okay, bongos.
Three.
I have to get your take about Terrell Owens not going to the Hall of Fame, because we haven't had a chance to talk about it, and I don't want to spend a whole great deal of time about it. So I'll just ask you, what is your opinion about Terrell Owens not going to the Hall of Fame?
It strikes me as selfish. It strikes me as maybe revengeful and vindictive, which only goes to short the people who were good to you and helped you along the way.
Why?
You're mad at the media. You're mad at some coaches who may have said something.
Who is the Hall of Fame? Who is going to the Hall of Fame for? Is it for the inductee, right?
It's the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's not the Players Hall of Fame. It's the Pro Football.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, so why are you offended about Terrell Owens not going?
Because you need to show...
Do you need...
Obviously, you don't need to.
Okay, well then, let's talk through this a little bit.
Just as you were... You and I had different opinions on the stain of the game with Phil Mickelson. I see this very clearly, that you need to show respect. Yes, I will throw the word need out there. Show respect to the Hall of Fame, to those other members of the Hall of Fame.
Why?
And those people who helped you along the way.
He already has thanked everybody. He's thanked the Hall of Fame members. He thanked those, the past members, the current members, and the future members that have been enshrined. Once he said thank you to all of them, then isn't that showing enough of a gesture? Does he have to be there in person?
In my mind, he does. As an actor, you win an Academy Award, you go, you give your speech. As a recording artist,
maybe you don't want to go. As a recording artist, so many people don't go with the recording artist, because so many Grammy winners have not shown up for different reasons and different causes that they support.
If you're on tour someplace, that's cool. But if you're protesting something at the Recording Academy, maybe they need to change their policies. But T.O. hasn't said any of that. He wants to have a different event on a different day where the spotlight is just on him.
And what's wrong with that?
Because in the end, that strikes me as selfish.
You need the pomp and circumstance of the Hall of Fame to make it official.
No, I want to go with my fellow enshrinees, my fellow inductees.
What if you don't want to go? Just say, I don't want to go. Well, I don't get why you are so frustrated by this.
I'm not frustrated by it. I'm just saying it's one thing to say, I'm not going to go. But it's quite the other say, I'm not going to go. Oh, but wait. I want all the cameras and spotlight on me on this day.
I want the cameras and spotlight on me. You know what? Let's finish this on this. You know what? I said I didn't want to get into
Let's get into it.
Long argument about this, but, you know, I almost feel like you are kind of like the people out there who don't understand the Colin Kaepernick protest.
I think you are starting to sound just like the
people that don't understand Kaepernick protest. And we have to talk about this on the other side, because I think your view on this is limited.
We're going to find out.
Yeah, we will. I'll tell you what, man. Didn't mean to go there, but I thought that you would say if he doesn't want to go.
We got Gary Kubiak signed by.
We fixed to find out. All right, on the other side.
We're fixing to find out.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
I just can't wait. I just can't wait. Let that breathe, man. Conversations we have out there, man. I mean, D-Mac and I choose not to air our disagreements out there. We wait till the microphone turns on.
But
some of the things I just learned about you, I couldn't believe, man. I can't believe what a traditionalist you are about the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And why it means so much to go. I mean, I you know, we've had this conversation on air, I think, like maybe twice, me and D-Mac have. And it has been, I think I've been portrayed as the bad guy in this situation all the time because I say that if you don't want to go, just don't go. You know, it's better than getting up there and making an ass of yourself or saying some derogatory things that somebody will hate you for later. It's better not to go if you don't have good things to say. So would you have preferred him go there and made a speech about how poorly the Hall of Fame chooses its inductees, how poorly the Hall of Fame selects its current members, how poorly the event is run? What would you have rather him do? Not go or make those statements?
Okay, let's back it up.
First of all, you played in a Hall of Fame game.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
How was it?
It's terrible. Hall of Fame game. It was the first preseason game. No team wants to play. No coaches want to prepare for it, and the players aren't really in any kind, not even preseason game shape yet, because it's so early. So the game is terrible, and we saw what happened with the field a couple years ago.
Oh, last year, man. Oh my goodness, that was. Oh my goodness.
Right. So there's that.
They had to cancel the game when. What was it? Yeah. 2 years ago Aaron Rodgers was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then. The ceremony, it's long, it's boring. To be there versus sitting at home and watching it on TV, you know, all those long commercial breaks, you're just sitting there baking in the sun. It's hot. I'm with you. The ceremony and the game are not fantastic to attend. But it's a completely separate deal than T.O.
Now answer my question here.
Mm-hmm.
Would it have been better for him to go and voice his displeasure in the whole process or not go at all?
I think the second is the better choice.
Not go at all.
Not go at all.
Okay.
But now to throw a separate event some other time, some other place.
Maybe it's on the same day as the Hall of Fame.
Okay. But to throw a separate event. Forget separate time, separate place. You can have it next door. You have the same day at the same time. That even speaks more.
Yeah.
So the perception of Terrell Owens, which I completely agree with the most part, is a completely selfishly driven football player.
And he's holding true to form.
He's holding completely true to form. So the delay in him getting it into the Hall of Fame, I even agreed with that. The people who vote you in are the sports writers. You treat these people terribly. You are...
So what?
You're a bad...
The numbers are the numbers.
You're a bad teammate.
So what? The numbers are the numbers.
You drive... teammates away, you drive coaches away.
The numbers are the numbers.
That's how it works?
Yes, that's how it works.
We're talking about the guy that has the second most receiving yards in NFL history.
Yeah, and Simeon Rice has got, 127 sacks? But if the numbers are all we're rating this on, it's not a numbers game. It's a winning game.
What is it?
It's about winning. It's about
T.O. didn't win?
It's about being a part of a team. Making that team better and helping that team win.
I recall T.O. playing a Super Bowl just weeks after he broke his leg.
Yeah.
That's not being a team player.
Okay, so you're going to cite one example. Well, how many others should I run down for you about breaking teammates up, calling teammates negative things in public, on air, talking to
forget all that stuff.
Wait.
Is it a numbers game? Yes or no?
I got to forget him calling out.
Yes, you have to forget
his
those
quarterback,
things.
Who was married to a playmate, saying he was gay.
Listen, man, listen.
Oh, so we got to discount the negative part and only say the numbers is what's all that matters?
The numbers is all that matters when you're talking about an individual accomplishment. There are no guys that are getting into the Hall of Fame that have been on multiple championship teams that don't have the numbers to match. The numbers count.
Oh, so funny that you threw the word in championship, because championships do matter in the Hall of Fame. Where you play does matter in the Hall of Fame. All those things are a piece of the puzzle. It's much more difficult to be a Hall of Famer from Seattle than it is to be a New York Giant and going to the Hall of Fame.
Chad,
much
the easier. Numbers are the numbers. The bottom line is the guy is a Hall of Famer. You don't like the fact that...
No, I'm not questioning the Hall of Famer.
You know what? They should have voted him in the first time. He deserved that honor because of the numbers. Now, if you didn't like his attitude, then, you know, you should have voted him in the second year. But like you said, it's the football writers who are making the argument for T.O. I mean, what is your argument for not putting him in the first year? We didn't like him. Okay, fine. Why not the second year? We don't like him? Oh, let's sit this on the third year. Oh, okay.
But why didn't they like him? It wasn't as if...
So what if they didn't like him? The numbers are the numbers.
Because the reasons why they didn't like it. If you are a destroyer of teams, if you are a destroyer of locker rooms, if you are a destroyer of chemistry on your team, that's a reason not to like you. It's not as if
he's not a criminal.
It's not as if they said, which also should be a disqualifier. Unfortunately, it is not. But my point still remains is that it's not as if they said, we don't like his lips, so he can't go into the Hall of Fame. I don't like this guy personally. They didn't like what he did to the teams. They didn't like the teammates he left in wake after destroying teams.
Simply put, I think you have missed the boat about this Terrell Owens going into the Hall of Fame, whether or not he should go or not. The reason that you missed the boat is because they are celebrating his football career, and he doesn't need to be there for them to celebrate his football career. His presence there would add to the event, but he doesn't need to be there if he doesn't want to go because he doesn't like some of the people, the process, or the place. I think it's best for him not to go and voice those disapprovals about those moments.
But then don't throw a separate event and say, come celebrate me.
Well, I don't want to go there. I want to go here. And I think that's where we are right now.
You have been admitted into an incredible fraternity.
I don't want to go. No, thank you.
But I'm going to celebrate this admission into his fraternity some other place.
I don't want to go. I don't want to go.
At some other time. By myself.
You already answered the question. You said he shouldn't go if he has negative points to make on why he is.
But then don't throw a separate event for you.
Why?
If your protest is your protest, then have your protest.
He does not like the process. He's going to throw a party, and wherever that party is, if it's Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and Drake, put me on the list. I want to go to his party.
So really quick, Chad's old teammate, Rod Woodson, was on NFL Network, I believe this morning, and was talking about T.O. and the whole situation. He said, I really don't care if he comes or not, but what bothers me more than anything is that in T.O.'s life, he's had different things that have happened to him in his life, but there's people who helped him along the way throughout his childhood, high school, college, to get to the point where he's at right now to be one of the better players to ever play in the National Football League. You can be there to acknowledge them, and they lose out because he's thinking it's all about T.O. For all those people that have helped him, for him not to acknowledge them to the public, it's a shame.
You know what? He's already acknowledged them to the public. It was short and sweet. He put out a statement. But I want to say this. I want to ask this real quickly.
Mentioned in teammates' Hall of Fame speeches. I have been mentioning that. And that is some of my favorite football memories.
I absolutely love that. He doesn't want to go. Let me ask you this.
For the point of Rod Woodson, all those people, they want to hear their name come out of his mouth on this stage.
You know what? You're not getting that moment. But I will ask you this.
Discount Chad's arguments, my arguments.
How do you feel about healthy members of the Hall of Fame not coming to the Hall of Fame?
I think I would like to see them make efforts every year.
No. How do you feel about it when they don't show up when the other guys go into the Hall of Fame?
Like I said, I'd like to see them show up every year.
But if they don't show up, you just say what? Hey, Joe Montana's not here every time. I'm telling you right now, Gary Zimmerman is not there all the time. I'm telling you right now, John Elway is not there every Hall of Fame.
Right.
How do you feel about...
I was there with Dick LeBeau in Tennessee, and I was like, Coach, you're not going? He's like, no, I'm not going. We got football to do. I was there last year with Kevin Green in New York on the day of the ceremony. Kevin and I are working with the outside linebackers going over tape on pass rush. So I understand how that works, whether you're busy or in some cases not as
busy.
Some
guys just don't want to go back.
Then that's fine.
You know when they go back? When their teammates or somebody that they played for go into the Hall of Fame.
And just a heads up, Julio Jones was there today when T.O. ran a 4.440. Today.
T.O.'s going to be the first guy to go into the Hall of Fame and play in the National Football League.
He can run 4.4, but he can't stop. I can still run fast. I can't stop.
Football is for next on the drive.